The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show.
Now,
here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Hey, guess what today is? It is Thursday, June 9th. So, we're cooking. You know what we're cooking here? Let's see if you can figure it out. Can you tell? There's a song to go along with it, too. I can play this. See if you recognize this. I should cue in a little bit to where it gets really picks up. Here we go. Yeah, that's the sound of the popcorn popping. Just in case you were wondering. You hear? That's the Jiffy Pop popcorn. I actually use the microwave popper so it's, you know, a healthier snack. And you don't have to use oil. It's like an air popper. And it works beautifully. So we're getting ready. So yesterday, I'm sorry if that was a rough show to get through. It was for me, but I thought it was necessary. I thought it was necessary. What we're living through is just unbelievable. And, you know, David and I were just talking that Saturday, March for Our Lives has marches all over the place. They're marching in D.C. They're marching in New York. They're marching in L.A. They're marching in your city. They're marching in Parkland. Because that's where March for Our Lives was birthed, right? March for Our Lives was founded by the kids from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And sure enough, this Saturday, there's a march right there. And, you know, the thing for David is it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's a little too early for him. And I was thinking, well, I can take Jackson and, go down there. And, you know, the problem is twofold. There's a couple of reasons why I hesitate. The first being COVID, frankly. I still don't go out in crowds anywhere. Now, I could go wear a mask and walk for, at least a few minutes, put in an appearance, make an appearance. Not that anybody would know if I'm there or not, but for me, I would know I did it. And I'm up early. I don't sleep. So, you know, I could throw Jackson in the car. Frankly, David would never know because we'd be back before he was awake, perhaps. It's supposed to go 9 to noon, so maybe not. But the other thing is, that's a perfect soft target for the crazies. Now, are we going to live our lives in fear of the crazies out there? No, I've never done that. And I don't think I'm going to start now, but, you know, someone who wants to do something stupid. What I'll probably do is decide early Saturday morning, because it is 10 minutes from here where the Parkland part of the march is going to be starting. So, I don't know. As much as I want to be there, I don't know that it is the smartest thing to do right now. But these are the choices we weigh at the moment, aren't they? This is where we are as a nation. Do we make a cost-benefit analysis, basically, of anything we want to do? I don't think you're safe going anywhere. So, I don't know. Just throwing it out there. That's this Saturday. And you can find a march near you. Just go to, do I still have the website up? No, I don't. Marchforourlives.org, I believe. And, you know, you can throw in your zip code and it'll tell you if there's a march near you. So, just one more thing I have to ponder. Now, yesterday was difficult. You know, I'll admit I sat here in tears throughout part of the show because we were listening to the testimony of parents who lost their children. And then we heard a little girl who as she put it, grabbed some of the blood from her friend who had been shot dead and put it all over herself so that she could appear dead too. And she played dead to avoid being killed. And then we heard from her father, who was just a mess, as you can imagine. And even Matthew McConaughey, movie star, street sweeper, I don't care. But he's from that town, and everything he said just cut right to the bone. And I thought we needed to hear it. I know the hearings that I watched for most of the day yesterday, a lot of people don't get to hear that stuff during the day, and I thought it important that I share it with you. So I know it was difficult. We didn't laugh at all yesterday. So I think we should laugh now before we go any further. And to do that, Lauren Mayer has a new song out. Take it away, Lauren. You can sing along, too, should you care. Care, too, actually. Here we go.
We've heard a lot from Marjorie Taylor Greene about gender, January 6th, or the vaccine. And now she's got a podcast on which she connects the dots, so we'll know what's really true and all her deepest thoughts about evil liberal plots to make us fry a fake cheeseburger by the old peach tree. For she says Bill Gates will start sapping me. If we don't follow orders, his gazpacho police will come in and stoop, examine our poop till we do what they wish, and fry a fake cheeseburger from that peach tree dish. We laughed out loud when we saw her tweets about Jewish space lasers and martial law. She's not just dumb, she's dangerous. Of course, we can't forget. But it's hard to resist mocking her craziest comments yet. And there's worse to come, I bet. Fry a fake cheeseburger by the old peach tree. Or she says Bill Gates will start zapping me. If we don't follow orders, his gazpacho police will come in and snoop, examine our poop till we do what they wish, and fry a fake cheeseburger from that peach tree dish.
Incoherent and sure can't spell, harasses colleagues and students as well. A transphobic provocateur, can't believe a thing you hear from her.
Now the whole darn internet is jeering at her latest gibberish, with a thousand memes and jokes about that peach tree dish.
Incoherent and sure can't spell, harasses colleagues and students as well. A transphobic provocateur, can't believe a thing you hear from her. Incoherent and sure can't spell.
Everybody sings. Lauren Mayer. Oh, yeah. She got Marjorie Taylor Greene's number, huh? Yeah, good stuff. She's just so funny. And I thought we could use that right about now because, again, yesterday was tough. Now, today, you know, Howie Klein will be here. It's Thursday, so we've got a lot to talk about. And I'm all over the place. I got a bunch of little things to share with you. And I'm not even sure where to start. So last night, I didn't see it then, but I saw clips today. Joe Biden, who takes a lot of criticism for a lot of things, he was on Jimmy Kimmel's show, first time on Jimmy Kimmel's show, and he got off a few good zingers.
Just a process question. When you have sensitive documents that you need to flush down the toilet, do you do that? Is that done in your office toilet, or is that done in the bathroom, in the personal bathroom area?
I call Trump.
Good one. Hey, that was good. This one wasn't necessarily set up with a punchline, but he had a good answer on this one, too.
Can't you issue an executive order? Trump passed those out like Halloween candy.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that something that could happen?
Well, I have issued executive orders within the power of the presidency to be able to deal with these, everything having to do with guns, gun ownership, whether or not you have to have a waiting, all the things that are within my power. But what I don't want to do, and I'm not being facetious, I don't want to emulate Trump's abuse of the Constitution.
Good.
And the constitutional authority.
Right. That's a good thing. Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely, because I often get asked, look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy will literally be in jeopardy.
Yeah, but you know what? Our democracy is literally in jeopardy.
I understand their
isn't
argument,
it?
But also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, you know, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you send them to jail, you know.
Hello? Boy, Joe, he's sharp. He was right on the mark there, right? I thought so. So this is sort of like the speed round. I'm going through a bunch of stuff. Because I got a bunch of stuff built up here. And tomorrow we're going to be all about the hearing. I will record it. I will take copious notes. I will share with you the highlights. Hopefully there will be lots to share because, you know, the guests that I had, I canceled. So we could deal with the hearing tomorrow. And again, it begins tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Pretty much any channel you turn on, we'll have it, except for Fox. Somebody had a great line, and I guess I didn't pull it. Oh, I think it was Stephen Colbert. He said, Stephen Colbert, by the way, is going to do his show live tonight after the hearing so that he can immediately react. But here's the fun part. You know what? I should just pull up his clip. Let's see. It is only like a minute or so. I'll let him say the punchline because he's funnier than I am.
We're learning more about what to expect from the hearings this Thursday. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Maryland representative and patient in the dentist waiting room realizing everyone forgot about him and went home. Jamie really? Raskin.
Oh, Jamie Raskin. Yes.
Come on, Raskin claims that the hearings spell a lot of trouble for former President Frodo Baggins. We all saw the former president fire up that mob and tell them to march on the Capitol to stop the counting. But Raskin says there is more to the story.
The select committee has found evidence about a lot more than incitement here.
Ooh, that is tantalizingly vague. It reminds me of the original title of Breaking Bad, about a lot more than chemistry. Now, part of the former president's plan to overthrow the legitimate results of a free and fair election was to go to the 7 battleground states he lost and just make up alternate slates of electors who would claim he had won their state. Why stop there? Why not just bring in a fake Mike Pence?
Ooh.
You could borrow mine.
Okay. Okay, first of all, that's a visual gag, and so it doesn't work on audio. But I guess I must have gone past the part that I was trying to get to, and now I've lost the whole punchline anyway. So, oh well. Anyway, Stephen Colbert is going to be on live tonight, post first night of the hearings. Now, next week, so here's the schedule as far as we know. Tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. They say for 90 minutes, I think it'll go longer. And apparently tonight, we're going to hear from this a British filmmaker, a documentarian, who was embedded with the Proud Boys. The group that Trump said at that, I think it was an NBC News thing, stand back and stand by. That was the Proud Boys he was talking to. You know, the people who showed up. Oh, God. Okay, now I got to show you this. Hold on. I had something else queued up here. But the Proud Boys showed up at Trump's latest rally or, you know, his latest Nuremberg rally. I don't know where it was. But wherever it was, apparently the Proud Boys thought they were supposed to be there, and until the cops wouldn't let them in. And this very Proud Boy was very upset.
Me right now that Proud Boys are not allowed at this Trump event.
I'm telling you right now, any sort of Proud Boys or QAnon insignia has to go.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. But we were invited. We were invited to be here. I'm going to walk out.
They probably didn't tell you to wear Proud Boys stuff.
We were
walking out towards the doors, okay?
So why do I have to walk? Why do I have to walk?
Because the front doors are this direction, sir.
Oh,
that's why.
No,
I mean, like, why do Proud Boys have to walk?
Well, it's because you can't have any logos or insignia for this event. And the people hosting this event have...
You're kidding me, right? Because the Trump campaign gave us VIP tickets.
The Trump campaign gave him VIP tickets.
Just another shirt.
This is really happening.
Or you can leave.
It's really happening.
It's all about his shirt.
So can I ask why Proud Boys aren't allowed here?
Your shirt, moron!
It's the logo on
your shirt, she said.
But we're giving you some options.
Is there a reason why Proud Boys aren't allowed?
The logo on your shirt. Are you deaf?
That's all I could say.
But the actual campaign themselves gave us VIP tickets. So why is it? Why
we're
can't?
Just going in circles.
Okay, so he was told over and over again. The logo on your shirt. You can turn your shirt inside out. You could buy another shirt. You could put something else on. And then you can go in. We just can't have your logo on the shirt. And he, thickhead, just didn't get it. So anyway, tonight, the filmmaker, see, that makes more sense now when you understand that this filmmaker was invited by the Proud Boys to embed with them and shoot video of all of their insurrection activities. It makes sense now when you hear this guy. They told him 20 times, yeah, the logo on your shirt, that's not allowed. You can turn the shirt inside out, buy another shirt, put something else on and go in, or you can leave. And it just didn't go through his thick head. So now it makes sense. Got it. So that filmmaker is going to testify, as will a Capitol Police officer whom we have not yet met. I forget her name. A female. She was one of the first ones who was attacked by the mob. She was at the those bike racks that they flipped over. When they flipped it over, they pushed her back on the steps of the Capitol, cracked her skull, gave her a concussion, and apparently she's still suffering the effects of a traumatic brain injury. What was that you said, a random Republican member of Congress? There were no injuries.
Bullshit.
Yeah. All right. So while we still have time, while we can still laugh, I got to share this with you because, you know, I already played one song. I'll play another. You know, my obsession with the Marsh family from the UK. Fell in love with them during the pandemic. We watched these kids grow up and I love them even more now because they do song, you know, at first it was the song parodies about COVID and the lockdown and staying at home and all that stuff. And then they branched out a little more. Well, now this latest one is a nod to the Queen's Jubilee, but they're doing it with certainly a wink and a nod because they released a video of the Queen having tea with Paddington Bear. But the Marsh family decided to do a song about deporting migrants. And in this case, they're deporting Paddington Bear. It's tongue-in-cheek. It is satire. Go figure. I love these parents. They're teaching their children very well. So, just enjoy the Marsh family.
Say you came from Peru in a lifeboat where you stowed away.
You tried to drink tea at the Queen's Jubilee and she gave you a smile.
Well, too bad.
The government's made an arrangement to send you away. Now this maybe seems mad. They're flying you out to Rwanda. That's the plan.
Rwanda. They're sending their immigrants
Don't
to Rwanda.
Soon you'll be shaping up to Kigali.
Don't come back. Fare thee well. You're a migrant that we can expel.
There's no price that's too tall.
It's all legal if we change the law.
Dry your eyes, brush your hair.
It's the end of any last compassion.
Please don't look after this bear.
Da 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 da.
Say you claim asylum and it's cruel and wrong. You gave us pause for thought, but not for long.
It's pretty suspect.
No real deterrence effect.
It's likely to be inept.
Whatever. We had to throw something together. Don't come back like before.
You're an animal we now deplore. We've got enough waves and strays. Better hope they're on a flight delay.
Since there's no legal aid,
we can throw away his marmalade.
Cause when push comes to shove, you're the kind of broken victim
that we're
trying to
get rid of.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
You say you came from Peru in a lifeboat where you stowed away.
You tried.
Oh, they're so good. They are so good. The Marsh family. Don't come back. I gotta let the video play out. Okay, so I'm gonna read to you what they wrote. I just can't help myself. I love this family. They're so cool. They wrote when they published that video a couple of days ago. We were inspired by the amazing show put on for the Platinum Jubilee and the party at the palace, which included three of our favorite things: Queen, Hamilton the musical, and Paddington Bear. So we decided today at short notice to put some of them together and make a parody about the scheme, which we think is abhorrent, to deport asylum seekers from the UK to Rwanda, which is currently being rolled out very quickly. We chose the song from Hamilton that they obviously couldn't perform at a British monarch's jubilee, You'll Be Back, performed by King George III and Lin-Manuel Miranda's 2015 sensation Hamilton, and one of Tess's absolute all-time favorites. Wishing the Queen herself a very happy jubilee, they write, and thanks for making us laugh by acting in a skit with Paddington, the refugee bear from Peru, and for making us proud of an idea of Britishness that the brutal deportation policy seems completely at odds with. I should say at odds with. Ah, very good. Very British. And I love it. They're taking on issues like deporting asylum seekers. I knew I loved that family from the beginning. Aren't they incredibly talented? All right. So let's see. We've still got a few minutes left. Now, Richard Cabrera in the chat room says today's version of the Partridge Family. I don't know about that. But they are quite talented, and I'm their biggest fan. In fact, you know, I've done a couple of interviews with them that are up on YouTube, so you can go find them whenever you want. What else do I want to share with you? Well, other things I want to share with Howie as well. I know what I can do. you know, talk about some of the, I know we have somebody who wanted to call in. So, Jonathan, if you wanted to call in, now's the time to do so. 954-889-6410 is the number. You can always Skype in to Nicole Sandler. Jonathan is a new listener of the program, and he's very excited about the show. And I'm trying to explain to him that we just don't have people on chatting, you know, just to have a conversation. But if there was a specific thing he wanted to talk about, then he could call in. What he said he wanted to talk about was how to... let me see if I can find how to, what we can do about winning elections besides voting and have fun on the show. So calling in, I don't think we're going to, you know, have fun on the show, just so you know, but what can we do about winning elections without other than voting? Well, voting is first. Making sure people are registered to vote is another. Getting out and working, volunteering for the candidates about, you know, of whom you are supporting. And they could be local candidates wherever you live or somewhere around the country, someone you like. For instance, let me talk to you about, you know what? I want to wait for Howie for that one. Marie Newman is being targeted. She's the latest of the progressives being targeted by a group led by Democrats. You know, there's a split coming in the Democratic Party. It's already festering on the surface. But there's a piece today at TheIntercept.com. Actually, this is actually not new. This is from a few days ago. This is from last week, actually. I think we talked about it already. But they've written more about it. There's a group called Democratic Majority for Israel. Kind of a front working with Hakeem Jeffries, who wants to be the next Speaker of the House. And apparently, Mark Pocan, who was on with us, what, a month ago, is getting behind that. Well, he's working with this PAC, the Democratic Majority for Israel, and a few others targeting progressives. That's not okay. And I've got an ad, a new Marie Newman ad and a new ad from Raphael Warnock that I want to play for you. But I'll wait till Howie gets here and get his take on it, too. Marie Newman has been a Blue America endorsee for a few cycles. First one she didn't win, the last one she did. And so she's still a freshman in Congress, but they are targeting her now. And Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be the Speaker, you know, should the Republicans take back control of the House, is as bad as Hakeem Jeffries is, and he is. Kevin McCarthy is worse. This is a guy who came out immediately after the insurrection, said it was an insurrection, said it was Donald Trump's fault. Remember, I've played that for you a few times. Well, today he was asked in his weekly presser a question that he wouldn't answer.
Is Donald Trump wrong when he says the election was stolen?
You know, Jonathan, we talked about this a long time. I've already answered that question.
No,
thank you.
What was the answer? Is Donald
thank
Trump
you. We'll move
wrong
on now.
When
thank
he says
you very
the election was stolen?
Thank you very
that's
much.
The basis of it.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
So you won't answer that?
Thank you. No.
Jonathan, I've answered it numerous times. I know you have a microphone. I know what you want to do. I've already answered the question.
I just want to know, is he wrong when he says the
thank you for your time. Go right ahead.
Oh, my God. So that, yeah. So he won't answer. And the answer is, I've already answered that a million times. Well, if you really answered it, then say it again. What did you say? Refresh our memories because we need to know. But he didn't. But this is Kevin McCarthy back just days after the original attack.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility, quell the brewing unrest, and ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
Yeah, right. Hey, what happened to that guy? That's what I want to know. Where is that guy? Because he's not there, right? Now, you heard what he's saying. He won't answer that question. He won't testify. He won't cooperate. He, and, you know, the former guy just endorsed him for Speaker, even though Trump's other BFF, Jim Jordan, really wants to be Speaker too. So as much as there's turmoil on the Democratic side, there's also lots of turmoil on the Republican side. I think we just need to open it up and become like a parliamentary form of government with a lot of different factions. Now, I know that's a giant clusterfuck, but so is what we have now, you know? All right. Since I have all this stuff I want to play when Howie's here, let's get Howie here already, right? Right? Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies? Because I could use a triple today.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, how are you, Nicole?
I'm doing okay. You sound very down.
Oh, I'm not down.
No? Okay. All right.
No, I was just in the middle of writing, so it's very...
I gotcha. So this week was California's primaries.
Yes.
Yeah. And
not counted yet.
You're not what?
It's not counted yet. I mean, in many counties, it's like 30% of the vote has been counted. So there's really, you can't really tell what happened.
Why? Why is it taking them so long?
LA County, which is the biggest by far, has a rule of, you know, they release numbers on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh.
So tomorrow we'll get a big batch. But they don't release anything on Wednesday or Thursday, for example. So, you know, it's a weird situation. That's just the way they do it.
Okay.
And others are just taking a really long time. I'm not sure exactly why, but I suspect that because there's a really high number of mail-in ballots and they have to get counted by hand.
Yeah, but you would think, in some states, they don't allow them to even start counting until Election Day. So they have, right? And so that already sets them back. Why don't they start counting as they get them in and obviously just post them on election night?
Yep, they should.
That would make too much sense, right?
Either you nor I is a secretary of any state.
That is true. And I don't think that will change over the course of the coming years.
No, but that we won't be secretaries of state.
Yes.
That's true, we won't.
we won't.
Also, the way they count votes is not likely to change either. You know, they think they're doing the right thing. I mean, the other thing is there really any rush that it should? You know, we have to have it on the day of.
No, I guess
not. Matter.
It's just that we're used to that, and so.
Yeah, well, we got to get unused to it.
Yeah.
I was following the Australian parliamentary elections,
and it
was the same thing. It took, 10 days. I don't even know if it's fully counted yet.
Huh.
But for a really long time, like you need 76 seats in parliament to be able to form a government, 10 days before they had the 76th seat.
Wow. But they do know that Scott, the what's his name? The conservative prime minister is out, right?
Oh, now they've got the 76 seats.
Oh,
they definitely knew that he was out. But yeah, the Labor was going to definitely be able to form a government. The question was it going to be an all Labor government, which it's going to be, or were they going to have to take some allies? And then if they were going to take allies, there are most of the allies, not all of them, but most of them were far to the left of Labor. Hmm. So are they going to pick those as their allies, or are they going to pick the right wingers as their allies?
Oh, take the left group, please. Yeah. Right?
No one knew. I mean, I don't even know if they knew. because, you know, the left wingers were very, very aggressive, and they wanted Labor to move left, and Labor didn't want to move left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more likely they would have picked, you know, some moderate.
Right. Yeah. Always go to the center.
Yes.
Like, go toward the line.
The new prime minister, the Labor guy, is basically Biden.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
Not that, but nearly.
Gotcha. Though Biden was good on Jimmy Kimmel last night. He got off a couple of zingers, and he was, like, quick on the take with a punchline. So,
oh, good. Well, yeah. Someone must have written a bunch of stuff for him and pretty spent
and
the day doing.
And he remembered them. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But
he delivered them well.
Biden, it's not, you know, like, oh, wow, look at him. He's walking. Look at him. He's talking. It's more like, you know, when he campaigned, he made a campaign promise to make sure that nothing fundamentally would change.
Yeah.
And that's the campaign promise that he chose to keep.
Sadly, you're right. You're correct. On the other hand, there's Bernie Sanders, who was interviewed by Politico this week. I got to say, I put that picture on our, you know, I do a show card each day for the show to put up on the web. On today's, it always starts with the same thing. It's you, that the picture of you behind the podium at the People for the American Way event where you're at the podium pointing.
Picture.
Well, send me one and I'll see what I can do. And then it has the Down with Tyranny logo and the Blue America Pack logo, and it has the name of this segment that you came up with many years ago, the Chucky Schmucky Hour. It's all, but then I always put a few extra things on there. So today there's a bucket of popcorn, because that's what we'll be eating tonight. And there's a picture of me with Burgess Meredith. And the reason is because I'm reading Down with Tyranny today, as I usually do. And on the piece that you have just went up today, the headline reads, "Progressives may have the solutions, but the corporate Democratic Party don't make me laugh." And you scroll down and you wrote, and I see you've changed it since I told you. You wrote on Tuesday, Politico's Burgess Everett interviewed Bernie. But when I read it, it said Burgess Meredith interviewing Bernie. So,
not just when you read it, when I was writing it, I said to myself, don't mix it up with Burgess Meredith. And I promptly wrote Burgess Meredith. My brain is falling apart. So I was very aware of what I was doing, and I got it wrong.
And you did it anyway. So I alerted you to it, and you fixed it, which I kind of, you know, was a letdown for me, because I went back and it's like, oh, it says Burgess Everett now. But I had to put the Burgess Meredith photo there just because it made me chuckle today, and not much else has.
Oh, so good. Oh, I can make you chuckle. You want me to make you chuckle?
Sure.
Okay. So there is a publication called Stat, and they have just kind of random statistics that they do a look at. And today, or not today, but a couple of days ago, their statistic was comparing the premature deaths. So in other words, deaths from COVID, deaths from being shot.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, various premature deaths by political party. And they judge the political party just based on the parties that, you know, went overwhelmingly for Trump and parties that went overwhelmingly for Biden.
Okay.
And you'll be happy to know, and I hope it makes you chuckle, that Republicans are dying at like a very much higher rate than Democrats.
Well, I figured that because they didn't want to get vaccinated, and they poo-poo so many things that have to do with science. So,
and health. It's
and
all
health.
About they're not into health.
Right.
Well, all right, science. It's a nice way to put it. But but you know, anything that has to do with health, they're allergic to. and that includes guns, because they shoot each other as well.
Oh my! The problem is they shoot us too. So, yeah, they do.
If we're
anywhere
near them.
If we're near them. That's it. We were talking earlier about going to a march on Saturday. And, you know, I'm a bit paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was funny. But back to this. So Bernie, the quote from Bernie, and I wish I had him on tape saying it, was, "You really can't win an election with a bumper sticker that says, well, we can't do much, but the other side is worse." You know, I can't argue with that. So I appreciate
I led my story off with it.
Yes, you did.
It was a very good, a very good quote for him, from him. But it's something that, you know, we've been saying on the left for a long time. You know, yeah, we suck, but they suck worse.
Right. And I get that's, you know, I'll vote on that basis, but you can't use that to get people to come vote for you. I'll do it because it's the lesser of two evils. Sorry, I know you won't do that anymore. You live in California. I'm in Florida, where the crazy is in control. Do you, this guy is so dangerous. And Howie, you talk to people on the national scale. He's winning. He's beating Trump in polls. I'm afraid
he's not.
He's not?
It was just one straw poll
of
like absolute crackpots who find Trump too much of a woke.
Ooh, okay. Well,
this is a very select. Last year he won also. DeSantis won last year and he won this year. It's just a straw poll in a conference of crazy people. So, you know, a lot of folks are saying, oh, he's beating Trump. He's not.
Okay. Well, good, because I worry that he's...
good, Trump's winning.
No, I mean, I think Trump will be easier to defeat because people already know who he is. DeSantis, for some reason, is enjoying these very high approval ratings. He is frightening. This man is a fascist, no matter how you cut it. He, just everything he does is all about him. His own personal taste. He has a vendetta against Disney. So he, you know, the things he's doing are dangerous. And
that being all about yourself is for a leader.
Yeah.
That is a hallmark of fascism.
Oh,
I know. That is a part of what fascism is and authoritarianism in general.
Right.
It's the ego of these fascist leaders is overwhelming and it becomes more important than any specific policy.
Yep.
And certainly that fits both Trump and DeSantis.
Oh, without a doubt. The thing about DeSantis, though, that people don't understand is he's smarter, he's more well-read, he's better educated, and he understands how government works. So he can manipulate it with the knowledge that that's exactly what he's doing, where Trump just didn't know about any rules and didn't care about any rules and was dangerous in that sense and others because he's a megalomaniac. But DeSantis knows what he's doing, and because of that, I think he's even more dangerous.
Yep. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yep.
I think you're right. He is more dangerous.
This clip I'm about
why
to...
Why is Florida imposing this idiot on the rest of us? It
they
doesn't make
like
sense.
Him.
It really doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. They like him. You know, our COVID numbers are through the roof because he will not let companies have a mask mandate. He will not let them take the steps to protect their employees and their customers. He's really dangerous. And then the gun thing, listen to this shit.
What measures are being considered about guns?
One thing that I wanted the legislature to do, and I think we will do it, I can't tell you exactly when, but I'm pretty confident that I will be able to sign a constitutional carry into law in the state.
He's going to sign constitutional carry into law before he leaves office. So anybody can carry a gun anywhere. You don't need a permit to go out with a gun, a concealed weapon.
Yep.
This is where we're going. Okay, David's here. David,
this is what Floridians want?
No, I don't know. David.
I like DeSantis about as much as you do. However, let's not get carried away here. The man won his election by less than 1%.
That's true.
Now that people have gotten to know him, they apparently like him.
They like him. His approval ratings are high.
No question about it. Among the people that they're polling, look, 35% of the populace are Republicans.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he's polling high with that 35% and a few of the people that are independents. I can't believe for a moment he's polling high with Democrats. I can't believe for a moment that he's polling high with people that are going to swing the election to him unless whoever runs against him, whether it's Charlie Crist or Nikki Fried, runs a really horrible campaign.
Well, they already are. They don't have the money. They can't.
Count on that.
Yeah, and Annette Tadeo has dropped out. And you heard that, Howie, right? She's now running in Florida in the 27th.
Yeah, the 27th
congressional
district.
Can I ask Howie a question?
I'm happy about that.
Yes. Okay, David has a question for you, Howie.
How are
Well, before David's question, let's try to remember to invite Annette to come on the show.
Oh, okay. Definitely. She's a friend. I've known Annette for many, many years. So
friend of mine, too.
Cool. Okay. We can do that. Invite Annette. I'm making a note. Okay. David.
All right. So, Howie, you know a lot more of these scumbag motherfuckers, I mean politicians, than I do. Do you feel that being a sociopath is, if not required, at least advantageous for them?
Yes. Okay. You know, it's not required, like, you know, you don't have to pass a test that says you are, but most of them are. And that's how they get ahead, and that's how they put up with the horrors of running for Congress. It's not the most pleasant thing to do for them either.
Well, because they absolutely can't have a conscience.
They don't.
Just to be successful at it, they can't.
Okay, thank you.
So Howie, I mentioned earlier that something we talked about last week, actually, this group, this Democratic Party-aligned group, there are a few of them, actually, super PACs, that are targeting progressives. And I believe you said...
few of them. The point, though, is that they're all being coordinated by one guy, the next Democratic speaker, Hakeem Jeffries.
Wow.
So he's got, whether it's the cryptocurrency billionaires, particularly Sam Bankman-Fried,
right,
or it's the APAC and Melman's group, Democratic Majority for Israel.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of others. There's a whole bunch of them, plus his own PAC that he started with Josh Gottheimer. And they have been going after progressive. First, they were only going after progressive challengers, so not incumbents. Now they've got three incumbents so far that they're going after as well.
And one of them is Marie Newman. Now Marie Newman has been a Blue America endorsed candidate for a few cycles. She didn't win.
Oh, by the way. All of them have been Blue America.
Of course, because they're real progressives, right? So they're going hard after Marie Newman. Marie Newman has a new ad up that I think is brilliant. So let me...
Right, with the dog taking
with the
crap,
dog,
right?
Yes, it's called Shit is the name of the ad. Here it is. Whoops. Ah, I just went the wrong way. Here we go.
Kasten has
it. Ah, hold on. I got to start it from the... I screwed it up. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Marie Newman, and unfortunately, you're going to hear a lot of shit about me from my opponent, Sean Kasten. So here's the truth. I grew up here and have been a lifelong progressive Democrat. Kasten voted for anti-choice Republicans like George Bush. I've always fought to protect reproductive rights, an economy for all, and universal health care. Sean Kasten hasn't. I don't accept corporate money, while Kasten has taken $1 million from corporate PACs. I approve this message because, unlike Sean Kasten, I'll always fight for our progressive values.
So Hakeem Jeffries is getting behind the challenger to this incumbent and others, where the party has a thing that they don't endorse challengers to incumbents, but it's okay for Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, the thing is that two incumbents.
Yeah.
It's not okay. I mean, I'm sure that Pelosi wants him to stay out of it, but he's doing what he wants to do. She would never talk to me, but I'd be interested to know what she thinks about this.
Yeah, so would I. And maybe I need to reach out to my new friend Mark Pocan again. Because you said, I think I heard you say that Pocan is behind Hakeem Jeffries being the next speaker.
That's right. It's not just behind. He is sort of Jeffries has a team, and they're all like lining up votes for him. You know, this one is lining up Hispanic votes. This one is lining up black votes. This one is lining up conservative votes. This guy's in charge of the Blue Dog Caucus. Anyway, Pocan is the one who's in charge of the Progressive Caucus. He's trying to get progressives to vote for him, and from what I'm hearing, he's being very successful at it. That the progressives are not going to challenge Hakeem. That's already means the end of any chance of not having him as the next Democratic leader. So they're not going to challenge him, and many of them are fine voting with him. They say, hey, he's in the caucus. I say, yeah, have you ever seen him at one of the meetings? And, you know, silence, because he's never been.
Right.
If you want to ask Paul Kane about it, I'd love to hear his excuses and his denials.
I'll shoot him an email. He's, you know, I will ask him. But this is very disconcerting. I'm going to. I may ask you for a few pointers on drafting the email even, because I want to make sure I get all the facts right. So I'm going to send it to you before I send it to him and then see how he responds.
Good.
Okay. So do you see, I mean, I think you, I don't know if you actually came out and said this, but one of your posts, I got the feeling that you were hinting at that maybe the Democratic Party needs to split.
I'm not hinting at it. I've been advocating it for some time now. You know, I foresee something different from a Democratic and Republican duopoly, where they're sort of coming together now in some ways anyway on in the centers of the two parties. So what I see happening, you know, possibly, is either three parties or four parties instead of two.
Right.
So let me go to the simple thing, which would be the four parties, even though I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
So the four parties would mean each party was split in two. The Democratic Party would be the Blue Dogs and the New Dems and, you know, just the corporate corrupt Democrats. That would be one party, and then the Progressive Party would be the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be two. Then the Republicans would split up into the sort of mainstream conservatives on the one hand, and then the fascists on the other hand.
Right.
So there would be a fascist party and a conservative party, a corporate Democratic party, and a progressive party. That's one possibility. What I think is more likely is that the fascists would split off over on the right, the progressives would split off on the left, and then there would be
a middle.
A middle with the
the never Trumpers and the corporate
Democrats
Dems.
and the kind of moderate Republicans.
Yeah. That actually makes sense. I mean, that's what MSNBC basically has become for most of the shows. I won't say all of them because there's Chris Hayes I can still watch. Mehdi Hassan I can watch. Ali Velshi.
Yes, what? Mehdi is great.
Mehdi's
Chris
awesome.
Is too.
Yes. So there are some really good people over there.
There's also a bad version of MSNBC. I only watch those two.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There are those other shows that are, you know, it's the home of the Never Trumpers. That's why I don't watch. There's Morning Joe.
It's
the people they have on. Although I got to tell you, last night I went to watch Mehdi Hassan, who you can only during the week find on Peacock. But I get it for free from my cell phone service. But last night he had Michael Steele filling in for him. Like, really? Do they have that light of a bench? Hey, MSNBC, I'm happy to guest host some shows for you if you need someone. You really don't have to call on Michael Steele.
Well, I think they want to call on Michael Steele.
Well,
not
that's
like they're
the
forced
thing.
Into it.
Yeah.
They feel like, you know, that it's, you know, that's the direction they're going in is a... a moderate middle.
Right. The never Trumpers and the corporate Dems.
To be the radio representative of the moderate middle.
Oy.
Although that's sort of what CNN would be as well.
Right, right. I guess. Well, now CNN has the thing where Chris Licht, I think is how you say his name, used to produce Morning Joe. And actually, I know he does good work. And then he produced Stephen Colbert over at CBS. And then he was tapped. He's the new head at CNN. And I thought that's a good sign. And the other day he said, they got to stop with the breaking news banners. Thank you. Because every time you turn it on, breaking news. It's not breaking news. That's a 3-day-old story. And he said they're going to stop doing that, that they will actually only use it when there is actual breaking news. But he also said he wants these, you know, the people who are partisan. And he singled out, I believe, Jim Acosta and Brian Stelter as that they need to stop that stuff. They need to be like straight down the middle. Well, you know what?
Can they fire somebody as well?
I don't know that he's fired anybody yet, but I think some people will.
I might be mixing this up with something else.
Okay.
I didn't get really into it, but Dave Weigel.
He suspended from the Washington Post because he retweeted a really stupid sexist joke. And you know what? Dave Weigel has a history doing that kind of stuff. Now, you know, is he sexist? Probably. Is it critical? I don't know. But what's happened is the dirty laundry of the Washington Post has now been aired, and somebody, one of the female staffers, has taken real offense to what Dave Weigel has been doing, and she's been airing all their dirty laundry on Twitter, and now they're just everyone. That's what people are talking about. Leave the personal shit alone. You know, people are.
I missed all this. By the way, I like Weigel, you know, not just his writing, which I like a lot, but also personally. Yep. I mean, I've sat down and talked with him about campaigns and candidates and stuff like that. I think highly of him. However, I have a vague recollection that he was a right winger long ago. He worked for some awful, I don't know if it's the National Review or worse. Do you have any?
He might have been. See, when I first became aware of him, he was at the Washington Post before he was fired the first time for similar problems, for saying stupid sexist shit. But he has always covered the right wingers. First time I ever interviewed him was he was covering CPAC, and this has got to be a dozen years ago already or more. That's his beat. And I think that's his beat because that's the world he comes from. I think now he probably is as, you know, generic as most journalists try to be, like they try to be nonpartisan. But I think he leans libertarian. But that's just my opinion. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, when I first ran into him, like way long time ago, I believe he was actually working for some right wing organization.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I suppose
it.
I should just look it up and see.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. He's previously covered politics for Slate and Bloomberg. Is a contributing editor for Reason magazine. That's interesting because that's Reason, isn't that the atheist magazine?
I don't know.
I think
I don't
it
know
is.
Them.
I think it is. He's worked. He's written for USA Today, Slate, Daily Beast, Guardian, the American Prospect, and the American Spectator. So, yes, both sides of the political spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, professional journalist, I guess.
Oh, and Reason Magazine, I'm wrong, and I was right before. Weigel is a contributing editor of the libertarian Reason Magazine. I think he's a libertarian. I think that's who he is.
Okay. The thing is, you know, with Weigel, you know, I didn't know about the sexist stuff. I wasn't paying attention to that story. I just know that his journalism in the Washington Post is often worth reading. And a lot of these guys, you know, they're not worth reading. Their writing is stupid. They're sloppy. They don't do their homework. Mm-hmm. They're just a bunch of conventional wisdom. And Weigel actually takes it very, very seriously. I'm not saying he does every single time. I don't know, of course. But when I read his stuff, I find him to be taking his subject seriously, to doing a lot of research. He doesn't hesitate to get on the phone and interview people who might actually know stuff. And I find him worthwhile. I mean, I learn stuff when I read his stuff.
And I usually do, too. And, I take his politics and his sexism with a grain of salt. By the way, you want to know the joke he retweeted that got him in so much trouble?
If you want.
Sure. It was a retweet, so he didn't come up with this. But the joke was, every girl is bi. You just have to figure out if it's polar or sexual.
I thought you were going to say every girl is bi. You have to figure out how much.
No, bipolar or bisexual. So that was the stupid joke. And there's a woman over there, Felicia Sanmez, who is also a reporter. And she's the one who's been airing all their dirty laundry on Twitter.
Well,
she's,
like, what do you mean when you say they're airing their dirty laundry? Well, like, who's dirty laundry?
She's the one who's been tweeting out the internal politics and slamming Weigel and others on Twitter instead
of. They're going to fire her, I'm sure.
I would think so. Because she's become the story.
What sort of stuff is she saying? Is it substantive?
Let's see. Please stop, tweeted Washington Post reporter Lisa Rain at fellow staffer Felicia Sonmez, who continued her social media onslaught Tuesday despite the suspension of Dave Weigel for retweeting a joke she deemed sexist. The executive editor, Sally Busby, has issued two memos to the entire staff telling them to stop attacking colleagues either face-to-face or online. That followed a missive she issued over the weekend as the Twitter storm brewed, in which Busby wrote, quote, "We are a collegial and creative newsroom doing an astonishing amount of important and groundbreaking journalism. One of the great strengths of our newsroom is our collaborative spirit." And so all that stuff has been made public, and that's what they're like, enough already, right?
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of it.
No, it's a soap opera. And not as good as General Hospital, I'll tell you that.
Is that still on?
It's still on. It's, I think, now in its 59th year. And yeah, I watch it.
Did you say 59th year?
59th year.
59th?
5'9".
They must have new actors.
Oh, always. But some of the same. In fact, like some of the people have been there since I started watching. You know, when I was, 12 or something. And I've watched on and off over the years. And these days I tape it. It records every day and I watch it at night, because I need my camp dose of absurdity. And it is, it's just a complete removal from reality. And it's a world of campiness and mobs and affairs and people who return to life after being dead. I mean, it's just, anything is possible. It just really is something else. And occasionally you need that break from reality. So that's what I do. Anyway, Howie Klein, you watching the hearings tonight?
Yes, I do plan to.
And I've got the popcorn ready to pop. So
I'm making some mushroom noodles. To eat while I watch.
Tell me, mushroom noodles. How does that work?
Well, no, it's noodles with mushroom sauce.
I gotcha. I thought you were making noodles out of the mushrooms, like they make zoodles out of zucchini. Oh, David's back. Yes.
So Howie, you know Nicole, and just imagine after we'd been dating for a while, and this amazing, beautiful, intelligent, worldly, experienced woman moves in with me and
has to watch General Hospital.
And I walk in one day and she's watching General Hospital. And I'm standing there and I'm going, seriously? You're really watching this? And she tells me the story about how she's been watching this for years, and I'm just trying to pick my jaw up off the
floor. One
Life
to Live was better, but they killed it, so I had to go back to General Hospital.
It is a
daily astonishment.
He knows, though. He knows all the characters now. He's like, Sonny, what are you doing? Dante, oh my God.
I can't help but know all the characters because, again, it's a daily astonishment that someone with the intellect of my amazing wife.
See, look, even Ford Country in the YouTube chat room says, I've watched GH all my life, but I'm getting really sick of Nina eating up the whole show. Really, they need to just get rid of Nina. They should kill her off. I mean, she was already in a coma for 20 years, and now we find out she gave birth to twins while she was in her coma. The twins were split up, and now we learn Nell, who was the evil one who died, is Wiley's mother. But now Willow is Wiley's adoptive mother, and she's the other twin. But Carly is not telling Willow or Nina that she has the blood test results and knows that Nina is Willow's mother.
Well, and I also need
you see,
to...
Now you see why I watch?
I also need to tell you that this has caused me to gain additional knowledge in that I can't remember who it was or how many of them there were, but there was more than one person on the show who had amnesia.
Yeah. Oh, always.
So
yeah.
I Googled how many people have amnesia, and it's like a decimal point and 27 zeros and a one. That's how many people on the planet Earth ever have had amnesia. But a half a dozen of them on this fucking show.
Oh, more than that.
Well,
easy. Yeah.
Half a dozen.
Well,
that I'm
how with. Many people have been declared dead and then come back to life? See, it happens. And so Fantoma said, is this daytime TV? Yes, it is. And to Stephanie, who said, I had a crush on Dr. Drake. Dr. Drake was Rick Springfield. You know who else got started on General Hospital, Howie?
Wait, Rick Springfield before he was a singer?
He was already a singer. And then he was also Dr. Noah Drake while he was a singer.
I see.
So he
did he have a hit once? He must have had a hit.
Jesse's Girl. Don't you wish that you were Jesse's girl? Da, da, da. Yeah, so he had a hit.
Did they play it on General Hospital ever?
I don't know. I don't remember. But, you know, Demi Moore started on General Hospital. She was on there. What's his name? The kid from Full House.
Can I ask you a question? Are we on the air?
We're still on the air. Yeah, we're off the Progressive Voices Network. They've left us, but we're still on overtime. But also the guy John Stamos was on General Hospital.
Isn't he a Trumper now?
No, I don't think so. No, that's Scott Baio. That's Joni Loves Chachi. I know it's easy to confuse them. But anyway, it's one of my mindless escapes. And, you know.
I recommend something that that you might like that's actually really good? I wouldn't say better because I've never watched General Hospital, so I don't know how bad it is.
Yeah.
But I watched something that's been going on for years now.
Yeah.
It's the biggest show, biggest TV series, so I guess you could call it a soap opera in a way, in the history of Turkey.
Oh.
And it's in Turkish with English subtitles, which I don't mind at all. And it's really, really good. And it takes place like in it's the story of the beginning of the Ottoman Empire.
Oh,
I think
God.
It's like 1400s, but it's really, really excellent. And, you know, and it goes for decades and decades and decades. And, you know, people die and then their sons are part of the show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And their
grandsons
are part of the show.
Yeah.
And
I'm not huge on the subtitles. And I'm watching with subtitles now still. Servant of the People on Netflix. Have you watched that?
Remind me. That sounds familiar. Is that a Scandinavian show?
No, it is Ukrainian. It is stars Volodymyr Zelensky.
Oh.
Yes.
I thought he was a comedian.
He is. He was. And it's a comic role. He was a teacher in this. It's a sitcom. He was a school teacher who gets elected president. And it's really good. But see, I have to do something else while I'm watching.
He about what actually happened to him.
Yes. But he wasn't a school teacher. He was a comedian. And he got elected president. Yes. And it's really worth watching, Howie. You should check it out. Servant of the People. It's on Netflix. And it's really good. But see, I have a problem watching shows with subtitles because I'm not good at sitting down and watching TV. At night, I fall asleep. So I have to multitask. So I paint or do something else while I'm watching. So I mostly listen. And I can't do that when it's subtitles. And if I sit and watch, I'll fall asleep.
I see.
Yeah.
See, with me, I noticed that I get more out of a show when I have to pay attention and not do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I can stay awake, I get more out of it, certainly, too. But I don't sleep well at night, and you sit me down in front of the TV in 10 minutes, I'm out. So it's the story of my life. It's just, you know, I should do a soap opera, The Trials and Tribulations of Being Nicole and Getting Older. You can't sleep.
Yes,
Yes, we all can. All right, Howie, I will let you go because we got to hurry up and get showered and eaten so we're ready in front of the TV at 8 o'clock.
I will check back with you next week and do invite, and
Annette
tell her all for me. Do invite
I definitely will.
Annette.
I certainly will. I made myself a note. I'll do that tomorrow. All right, Howie, thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. All right, bye. And thanks to you guys for listening to my soap opera chatter. You know, back in the old days when All My Children was hot, you know, they used to do like the All My Children Minute on the big morning shows. I'm going back to the 1980s now. I was never a big All My Children. I liked One Life to Live a whole lot better than General Hospital. But ABC killed it off. And so the only one left is General Hospital. So I watch it. All right. With that, we're done. I got to go. Oh, Kim watched A Tear in the Sky last night. What'd you think, Kim? Pretty good, huh? They are out there. Okay, I got to go so that we can be ready at 8 o'clock. And I got to get pop the popcorn. All right, I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk about the hearing. So if you don't watch it, I'll have it covered for you. But if you watch it, you can participate. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Onward. Go get them tonight. Yeah. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
After a nearly year-long probe, testimony from around 1,000 witnesses, and over 140,000 pages of documents examined, the House Select Committee investigating the events surrounding the January 6th Capitol insurrection begins the long-awaited public hearing phase tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. The committee's central mission, to uncover the full scope of the former president's unprecedented attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election and stop the transfer of power to President Joe Biden. Details about what to expect during these hearings are being fairly closely held, but we do know of two who will testify during the first hearing tonight. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards, who was severely injured that day. Her head was cracked on the Capitol steps, and she suffered a concussion after being knocked down by people pushing back a barricade. And Nick Quested, he's a British filmmaker who was embedded with and documented the activities of the Proud Boys. The committee is likely to screen footage shot by Quested and his crew, as well as other previously unseen audio and video obtained during the investigation. These hearings begin after 2 days of House hearings on our national gun violence epidemic. They wrapped up on Wednesday night with a vote that came down mostly along party lines to pass the Protect Our Kids Act 223-204. Five Republicans joined all but two Democrats to pass the package of bills that would raise the age from 18 to 21 to purchase a semi-automatic assault rifle, ban high-capacity magazines, crack down on gun trafficking, create new safe storage requirements for gun owners, and codify executive orders that ban untraceable ghost guns and bump stock devices. A separate bill promoting red flag laws passed in the House Thursday morning. But the testimony is and should be impossible to forget. 11-year-old Mia Cirillo, who survived the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School last week, recounted her experience yesterday via pre-recorded testimony played at that hearing.
I told my teacher goodnight and shot her in the head. And then he shot some of my classmates and the whiteboard. When I went to the backpacks, he shot my friend that was next to me. And I thought he was going to come back to the room, so I grabbed the blood and I put it all on me.
What did you do then when you put the blood on yourself?
Just stay quiet, and then I got my teacher's phone and called 911.
And the parents of one of the 19 kids who didn't survive, Lexi Rubio, also appeared from their home in Texas, showing pain that no parent should ever have to experience.
I left my daughter at that school, and that decision will haunt me for the rest of my life. Soon after, we received the news that our daughter was among the 19 students and two teachers that died as a result of gun violence. Somewhere out there, there's a mom listening to our testimony, thinking, I can't even imagine their pain, not knowing that our reality will one day be hers. Unless we act now.
Of the five House Republicans who voted for the bill, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Chris Jacobs of New York, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, and Fred Upton of Michigan, Fitzpatrick is the only one seeking re-election. As for the Democrats who voted with the Republicans, they were Jared Golden of Maine and Kurt Schrader of Oregon, who you may recall just last week was defeated in his primary by progressive challenger Jamie McLeod Skinner. Ultimately, though, the package now probably dies, as the Senate likely won't even bring up these measures. Instead, a small bipartisan group is reportedly working on a much narrower package that would incentivize states to create red flag laws, bolster the nation's mental health network, secure schools, and crack down on gun dealers that don't conduct background checks. Not good enough. In related news, the Justice Department has selected a team of nine people to help examine the local police response during the Uvalde shooting. The department conducted similar reviews after the 2015 terrorist attack in San Bernardino and the 2016 mass shooting at an Orlando, Florida nightclub. Hey, another guy with a gun was arrested. Yeah, this time an armed 26-year-old man was arrested and charged with attempted murder on Wednesday after showing up outside Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home and making threats against him. The man was carrying a gun, a knife, pepper spray, zip ties, and a variety of household tools when he was arrested. Agents first noticed him outside Kavanaugh's house at 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday before he walked away and called 911. He told the operator he was having suicidal thoughts and planned to kill Kavanaugh with the gun that he had with him. He was arrested while still on the call and made an initial appearance that afternoon before a Maryland judge. According to an affidavit filed Wednesday, he was upset about the recent shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and the potential overturning of Roe v. Wade. The White House is set to announce today a COVID-19 vaccine rollout plan for children under five. The first vaccinations could start as early as the week of June 20th. Parents with young children are likely very happy right now. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.